Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. What do uprooted trees, conquered nations, and the unsettling feeling of being cut off from everything familiar have in common? What word links gardening, warfare, and the sudden realization that your entire world has been pulled out from under you, roots and all? It's a word that Uncle Will deploys at the moment when violence gives way to diplomacy, when armies fall silent, and when the true cost of conquest finally comes into focus. A word that reminds us that destruction isn't always about fire and blood. Sometimes it's about removal, extraction, the tearing away of what once held fast. So, what word captures the most thorough form of ruin imaginable? Not smashing, not burning, but uprooting. Well, it's one that I think should become firmly replanted again in our common vernacular. Deracinate. I love that word. I remembered this from the first time I heard it in William's Henry V, and was reminded of it when reading Dame Judy's brilliant bio/autobiography, Shakespeare, the Man Who Pays the Rent. Really worth a read, but I'm getting sidetracked. Back to Henry. By Act 5, Scene 2 of Henry V, the war between England and France is effectively over. Agincourt has been won, the French are beaten, and the English king has arrived not with sword in hand, but with marriage in mind. Enter the Duke of Burgundy, the play's unexpected environmentalist and moral realist, who pleads for peace by describing what prolonged war does not just to the people, but to the land itself. Fields lie fallow, vineyards rot, agriculture collapses. The country, he argues, is not merely damaged, but deracinated.
Her fallow lees, the darnel, hemlock, and rank fumitory doth root upon, while the coulter rusts that should deracinate such savagery.
Burgundy is Shakespeare's grown-up in the room, a diplomat who turns up after the shouting is finished to point out that someone still has to live with the mess. He represents not glory or vengeance, but continuity, the land, the people, and the slow and fragile art of civilization that has been savagely strangled by war. Now, enough of that. Let us get to the root of the matter. Deracinate comes planted in the fertile ground of the Latin, dera radicinare, where radix, meaning root, and the prefix di, meaning down, away, or off. This would also give root to the words radical and eradicate. A close cousin, but not identical. Eradicate often implies wiping something out completely. Deracinate emphasizes displacement, removal from the soil that sustains life. Our plotted plant of prose then transplants itself via the French, déraciner, entering English in the late 16th century, carrying both a literal agricultural sense as well as a figurative, political, and even cultural one. William cleverly uses it not only as a description of uprooting plants and a removal of people from their land, but also the destruction of customs, memory, and stability, which is precisely how Burgundy uses it, as a powerful plea for peace. A quiet reminder from the 16th century that to break a sword or burn a city is far easier than to undo the deracination of a thing. Because, as Uncle William seems to have known, once you've torn something up by the roots, no amount of victory, spin, or wishful thinking can make it grow again. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell, until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.